opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Also, get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Ernest Blitz. At Degenerates 975. Can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Comment there. Missed the first hour. Pretty sportsy. I think my Canadian accent's a little bit off. I haven't been up there since summer. I'm always really good at it when I first get back.
It's a school show.
I need to work on it a little bit. You know, what's weird, though, is like, well, I listen to NHL Network a lot, and there's like little subtle differences in how they pronounce words. It always makes me wonder, am I pronouncing it wrong, or is this just, you know, a Texas colloquialism? Like, they say progress. He's making a lot of progress.
I mean, you say progressive.
You do say progressive, but I say progress.
I say progress also.
Aaron?
Progress.
Okay. So, I'm not wrong. Another one is like,
what if someone said progressive?
Progressive would sound stupid. You would not pay any attention to flow from progressive.
No.
So maybe they're right. Maybe it should be progress. The other one is they actually pronounce the R in when they say iron, like Iron Man. See, I say iron.
Iron.
Iron. That's more
like a pirate.
Yeah, that's more of a Texas iron thing. Man. I mean, I don't know. What do you say iron?
I say Iron Man.
Okay, so you say the same way. It just sounds less Texas-y when you do it. I sound more like a redneck when I do it, that damn Iron Man.
I mean, I'm just as from Texas as you, Fred.
That is true. That is true. But I find that fascinating that it's the same word. Why would you pronounce it differently?
When...
And frankly, I pronounce it like Tony Stark does.
I am Iron Man. See, and they Ozzy say Osbourne. Iron. He says Iron Man.
Iron, yeah. Well, that's what I say is Iron Man. Like that's what Tony Stark says, right? I am Iron Man. He doesn't say Iron.
Iron Man.
No. My wife says Iron.
Yeah, I'm going to... It's Iron. It's Iron or Iron?
Iron is what I'm
Iron
doing.
Man.
Yeah. Iron.
Like, Iron Man.
It almost sounds like one... Like a... Iron.
But yeah, but again, isn't it correct to actually pronounce the R? Maybe,
yes.
Maybe we're doing it wrong because, yeah, we sound like pirates. Or rednecks. At Iron Man, I tell you
I
what,
mean, we're
that's
just
a
forgetting
sexy feller.
Like, we're just pretending like the O doesn't exist, really.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
It's,
Iron Man is probably how it should be pronounced.
That's what I'm saying. Just like progress. Maybe they've got it right and we've got it wrong.
Okay, but answer this question because now I've been watching a lot of Letterkenny. Do they add random S's like they do
no,
in the show?
No, that's just the character that does that.
Okay.
Which, by the way...
There's a lot of them that do it,
yeah,
though.
His name's K. Trevor Miller. He's a hilarious comedian. If you get a chance to listen to his stand-up, that's one of those, I have that Canada Laughs on Sirius, and I listen to that, and he pops up on there every now and then. He's freaking hilarious. So, but he doesn't add S's in his comic act, just so you know. 713-780-3776. All right, we promised the people that we would get to some NFL. And so I think we should do that. I don't know. Do we need the music for this? I guess it's progress.
I mean, we're talking lines, right?
Well, yeah. We're talking lines. We're kind of talking games.
I mean, we'd be regressing if we stopped using NFL
music. I don't really want to regress. Okay, this guy's texted me the same thing 25 times over the last 2 days. So we'll start with the Titans and Ravens. Tennessee held Josh Allen to 27 yards on 10 carries earlier in the year. Odds they keep Jackson under 50. That is a different animal, man. Different types of runners.
Yeah. Like, stopping Josh Allen is something that you can do with regularity. I mean, he's probably the second best runner at quarterback in the league, but it's not even close. They're not on the same level. Josh Allen is a good athlete. Lamar Jackson
he's probably the second best running quarterback in the NFL.
Well, statistically, he is. Jackson is an elite level athlete. And that's what I'm not talking about. I mean, Peyton Manning's an elite level athlete. When I say athlete in this circumstance, I'm talking about he's a track star. There's a select few humans in the world who can run like Lamar Jackson runs, and then an even more select few who play football.
Yeah.
And then an even more select few who are quarterbacks. It's very difficult to deal with. A guy at quarterback who's got top end wide receiver speed. There's been very few in the history of this game. And Lamar Jackson's one of them, and Josh Allen's not. Josh Allen's a good running quarterback, but he's not that.
I feel like when you look at this game, and I mean, number's 9.5, I think the instant reaction is, well, boy, the Titans went and beat the Patriots. And
yes.
And we kind of forget. This happens the second week. We forget about the teams who had a week off and just how good the Ravens were all year long. For Tennessee to have a chance, they're going to have to run Derrick Henry until his legs fall off and keep the ball out of Lamar Jackson's hands. And that's easier said than done because the Ravens have much better defense than I think people give them credit for.
Well, the reason why they do have a better defense people give them credit for, the first half of the season, their defense was ranked 25th. And they gave up a lot of explosive plays. They weren't getting great pressure on the quarterback because they weren't able to blitz. Something happened at, I think, week 8 or 9 when they traded for Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith came back healthy. If you don't count week 17, where those guys didn't play.
Right.
But I think it's week 8 through 15, or 8 through 16, 9 through 16. The Ravens, when they have Peters, Smith, and Earl Thomas all on the field, they're the third best defense in the league. And they're able to get the pressure on the quarterback now because they've got cornerbacks who can hold up in coverage, where they didn't have that. And they were having to keep all their safeties and linebackers out in coverage. They weren't able to do what Wink Martindale wants to do and what John Harbaugh basically wants to do. And they want to get pressure on quarterbacks. They want to blitz a lot. And they just don't give up big plays because they don't allow big plays time to happen. The thing about the other thing that I like about the Ravens here, when you play the Titans, the way the Titans have been beating teams lately is they run Derrick Henry until you're tired of tackling him. And on the surface, you think, God, yeah, I'd get tired of tackling Derrick Henry too. He's a giant. The issue with playing the Ravens that way is the Ravens are a better ball control team than the Titans.
Yeah.
They're not going to be tired of tackling Derrick Henry because Derrick Henry's probably not going to be on the field as much as they are. And with the Titans, typically they're the team who's controlling the clock. They're the team who's grinding on you. No one's done that to the Ravens yet. I haven't seen anyone do it.
San Francisco's probably the closest. Okay. And the Bills did it a little bit, too.
The Bills did.
But now they both lost.
Right.
But they both played them close. So
will the Titans be able to do that?
And that's the question. I don't think so. I like this Titans team. They've overachieved, no question. I think Baltimore it's going to take damn near a perfect game from somebody, and it's going to take a more talented team than the Titans to do it.
I think so too.
And
now 9.5, it's a number I'm not comfortable with. I'll be honest. I don't know that it needs to get to that. What's the total as of now?
I just lost pregame.
Oh, okay.
I'll get it back. Yeah, the total interests me a little bit because the one thing, the Titans do play pretty good defense, but you know who's had success against them? Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And he's had success running the ball, and that's what Lamar Jackson does better than he does. So, yeah, I feel like I've got the
totals at 47.
47?
Now, consensus. Some 46.5s out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing 47.
Yeah, I don't know where the value is on this game.
The Ravens down.
I think teasing the Ravens down is the way to go. That said, I mean, if you're teasing with the Ravens, you probably want to use a 7-point teaser.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's going to cost you. It's going to be like a minus 130 or minus 135.
Unless you make it a three-teamer. Throw another team in
there.
That's
true, too.
That would be, if you do three teams, that would be the direction I would go. I'd go ahead and make it a seven-pointer.
Yeah.
But I don't have a great feel. If I had to pick against the spread here, the Ravens, inside of 10, I think I'd take the Ravens here.
I would, too.
I could see them running away and hiding. And, you know, it's been a... See, I kind of feel the same way about the Titans as I do the Texans. It's been a good run. They both got nice wins last week, but they're taking a huge step up in class. And, yeah, I think everything I read this week, people are really trying to convince me the Texans have a chance against the Chiefs. I don't think they do, and I don't think the Titans really have a chance against the Ravens. I hope I'm wrong, because I think it would be fun for an AFC South rematch for the AFC Championship, but I think the odds of that happening on what are the odds Thursday here are about 2%.
So I guess we'll go now into that game, right?
Well, let's do Vikings 49ers. Okay. We'll get the Saturday games out of the way. I just I wanted to respond to the guy's text so he stopped doing it. 49ers minus 7 against the Vikings. This is the one game I do like. I'm playing the Vikings here to cover the 7. I'm not going to money line them or anything, but I do think that the 49ers aren't going to blow them out. I think it's going to be a close game, and I think 49ers probably win, but I'll take the 7 points.
So I like the Vikings a lot. They were my favorite side of the week. And then yesterday, it was announced that Adam Thielen's got a banged up ankle, and now he's not practicing. And
I bet he shows up.
He better, because without him, their offense becomes super predictable. And you know, Kirk Cousins needs all the help he can get. Let's face it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shocked if Kirk Cousins turns back into Kirk Cousins here, and then I look stupid, but
I think the Vikings are a team that legit has a chance to represent the NFC if they win this game. I think I'd probably take the Vikings over whoever they played in the next round. They've got to get through this game. I tend to think that they're good enough to do it, so I'll take the Vikings plus 7, but I felt a lot better about it yesterday when I thought Adam Thielen was going to be out there at 100%.
Yeah, I think he'll play. He may not be 100%, but I think he'll get out there. I just think it comes down to, can Kirk Cousins have another good game? And if he does, they cover the 7. And if he doesn't, then, oh well, I'm going to lose money. All right, want to save the other two for when we come back?
Yep.
Good, because I'm going to tell you about mybadexperience.com. It's a new website, and guys, this isn't a troll site. This is not, you know, fake stars or rating. This is a real site where you can help others before it's too late. You can post any bad experience with a business. And for $4.99, you can tell all. Now, they verify this, so the complaints on here are for real. And if you visit mybadexperience.com today, you can warn others about bad businesses before it's too late. You might even get a resolution with the business. If you've talked to them and they won't do anything, well, hey, go on mybadexperience.com. And believe me, once it gets out there, maybe they'll sit down and talk to you about it. You know, if you if you had a plumber come in and they didn't do a good job and they won't come back and make it right, or a contractor, anything like that, that's what mybadexperience.com is all about. $4.99, and you can tell it all. Mybadexperience.com, put a stop to bad business and make a difference. And reviews stay up even after it's resolved. So mybadexperience.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. We'll divert from the NFL briefly. Brother Bear says you guys probably talk about this ad nauseum, but lane ends, merge right or left means get over sooner, not wait until the last possible second, then squeeze in front, causing a massive backup. Dickweed in the white Tesla. That's, you know, I've gotten now where I don't even let that bother me anymore because I know people are going to do it. But
shame.
You know, I hate people who wait till the last minute. Just, if you know you're supposed to be in another lane, you realize you're backing up two lanes, not just your one, then just get over. The one thing that I am completely get off my lawn guy is when it comes to driving in the city. Because if you just follow simple instructions, it's okay. You know, you're going to get stuck in traffic. You're going to be backed up. Just be patient. Don't force your way Don't go to the front of the line and then stop. So this, I'll give you an example of a specific area that I'm sure a lot of people have driven. When you're taking 59 towards downtown and it goes from five lanes to three, mm-hmm. the left two lanes go downtown. All the rest of them kind of squeeze into 59 towards 288. Everybody stays in the right-hand lane that goes downtown until the last minute, so it backs up. So you're backing up, everybody trying to go downtown. Then you have a secondary tier of idiots who are in the far left lane, who are waiting to get over to the right lane, and then get over to the other lane, and they're backing up those guys. There's no reason for downtown to ever be backed up there except for people waiting and trying to get in at the last minute. And there's no reason to do that. You're going to save maybe a minute.
Yeah.
Just get in line, man. Get in line where you're supposed to. Be in the lane you're supposed to. And don't be a dickweed. Hey, man, f*** that. So.
Yeah.
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 But, but yeah, no, and they're supposed to get over late. If they get over early, no, they're not supposed to get over late. You're supposed to get over where the dotted line still is. When that's a solid line, you're not supposed
you're not
to
supposed
be getting
to get
over.
You're supposed to have to keep going and get off at the next exit.
You dumb bleep. Come on. So, yeah. Oh, no, merging early causes problems. No, it doesn't. If you're in the lane you're supposed to be in, there's no problem. My God. See, you guys are the problem.
You know you're supposed to show up 5 minutes before your plane takes off?
Exactly. But it doesn't bother me anymore because it just like the stupid people texting in saying that's what you're supposed to do. It's
you're
out
never going to fix it.
No, we're never going to fix it. We're never going to fix the guy.
It's a broken system, Fred.
We're never going to fix the guy who dives across three lanes to make an exit when he should wait till the next one because his stupid ass wasn't in the right place to begin with. And... don't even get me started on.
We're never gonna get rid of the guy who definitely can't merge and the right lane's ending, so he just keeps driving along the shoulder until he finds an open spot and then he jumps in.
Here's another one we're not gonna fix. This I've started noticing a lot lately. If you're at a light and it's not a protected left,
mm-hmm.
and you have the right of way to go straight through. I see this about two times a day now. Whoever's turning left, as soon as the light changes, they just fly across there and turn left in front of you.
Oh.
I mean, I'm seeing that a lot. And there's a part of me that really wants to just go get an old beat-up car, and when that happens, just keep going.
Yeah.
Because that is chicken bleep.
You know, it happens pretty much every day. When I'm leaving here, I don't know how you guys get out of here. I take Alabama. And you guys both go south. I go north. So I take Alabama to Post Oak, and then I take a left on Post Oak because I don't want to ride on Westheimer the whole way to Post Oak.
Westheimer sucks.
So Post Oak and Westheimer, if you are going northbound on Post Oak, the left turn lane off of or onto Westheimer, like when that arrow's on, it backs up so far that people don't want to wait for another rotation. So they'll keep going even after the green arrow is red. And I'm trying to go straight.
Right.
And there's still, I've got a green light, but there's still three cars that are going because they don't want to wait another rotation. That I want to smash into them.
Well, and downtown, it's gotten ridiculous with people running red lights because they don't want to wait. Guys, it's a minute. It's a minute out of your life. And when you hit another car and you wind up getting, 2 hours in car damage, it's a hell of a lot different. And I mean, I see one wreck a day down there where people do that. And here's the other one. The way I leave, same way you do. I go down Alabama. I go past the Galleria, and there's an area where you turn on to 610.
Yeah.
And
then you turn into an area where you have to pick 610 or 59.
Right. And then I go over to 59.
Yeah.
But it's a protected turn.
Yes. But people will
still everybody sit there. Stops. And during Christmas, they have a cop there actually directing traffic. Yeah. And even he has to go up to the window and tell him, go, it's protected.
Why can't it always be Christmas?
I don't know. And that one drives me nuts. That one I will get on the horn for. And somebody mentions that they do. This is the one dickweed thing I do as a driver, and I'm not afraid to admit it. When people are doing that last second, I'm going to jump in front of you merge thing. If I can get in between two lanes and straddle it to make sure they can't do that, I will do it every time. If that makes me a bad person, so be it. But I will do that. 281, they drive like O'Brien. That's not my problem.
It's not my problem.
Oh, man. But Somebody says, hey, Blitz, I hate when a car is going way under the speed limit and when I spot them and flick them off and then it's an old lady. Yeah, I
don't hate that.
Yeah, somebody said, now that you can't get a ticket from the cameras at traffic lights, everyone runs red lights. I have to admit, I was wrong about that. I did not want red light cameras. I got to tell you, we should have them.
I don't want them, though. I don't want them either.
Well, I don't run red lights. At least I try not to.
Yeah.
I've done it one time in the last year, and I understand why it happens downtown. I was going down, depending on how bad the traffic is on 59, there's two ways that I go home. And one way is through downtown where I take Louisiana to Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And I was going down Louisiana, and I was just kind of spaced out and was watching the light one block up instead of the light that I was supposed to be at. And then I was halfway through the intersection before I realized, oh, bleep.
See, when I go, it's because I make a decision depending on how fast I'm going. If it's safer for me to slam on my brakes and stop at the light or slam on my gas and just get my ass through the light.
I will almost always stop.
I almost always go.
Now, if it depends on, and this is one of the things one of the few things I remember from driver's ed was if it's a stale yellow, I will start slowing down to stop.
Okay.
But if it just turns yellow, yeah, I'll go right through it.
The biggest problem is when you have my philosophy and you're 90% of the time, you're looking to go instead of not go. Like if you're an over player, not an under player,
right? Right.
The problem becomes if there's a person in front of you, and they're a super cautious driver, and their instinct on yellow is to slam on the brakes, that can be a problem. That can be a problem. And I find myself most road ragey, is when someone slams on the brakes at a yellow light, like it's it's been red for 2 seconds.
I can see that. That doesn't happen to me too often, though.
All the time.
But I also, it's another probably, I try not to, especially if I'm driving downtown where there's a lot of lights, I try not to be in a lane where I'm not first.
Yeah.
I'll go out of my way to, and then I'll go in front of somebody just so that I can.
I'm also a more distracted driver than you.
Yeah, I try to drive for myself and everybody else.
Yeah, not me. I like clip my toenails and brush my teeth and, you know, play video games on my phone. I'm texting. I do it all.
Yeah, I don't because I'm scared that.
Well, you drive a little car.
Well, not really. I drive the wife's car, which is I haven't been driving the Camaro's got to get fixed. But I kind of
you broke it.
Yeah, it's
racing.
No, I wasn't racing. I just haven't had a chance to take it in yet. But I've actually gotten so much more comfortable driving the Caddy. It's just a nicer experience.
What a rich.
It's not a rich. It's a wife's car. She's the
what
rich.
What a rich.
But well, you're a big person. You get it. I'm higher up.
Yeah.
It's much more comfortable. And, you know, it's easier to drive.
You've got 24-inch rims on it.
I don't know about that.
They're spinners.
No, they're not that. All right. We will get back to the NFL. It always sets me off when we get into traffic. And apparently everybody else, too. And just for those of you curious about the storms coming Friday night, Stephen the Weather Guy has just posted a story on SportsMap. Well, he wrote it. I posted it. But gives you the details. You should be home and in bed long before they hit if you're going to the track. All right. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz.
What is this music?
Yeah, what is this?
Young the Giant.
I don't like this. No.
Well, you know what, man?
I don't like that.
We need some stuff.
I don't like Young the Giant.
I want something a little more badass. Let me clarify something because Thomas says, I think we're talking about the merges where the lane is. No, we're not. I'm talking very specifically about when you're driving and two lanes go to one place and three lanes go someplace else. Don't sneak your ass into the two lanes that are going somewhere else and then the last minute try to cross over in front of the people who are already where they were supposed to be because you're a chicken bleep. That's what I'm talking about. Or, oh, by the way, let's say we're going to exit. and there happens to be a line, get in the damn line to exit. Because if you go up to the front and then you cut in front of people, now you've stopped, you're stopping two lanes, not one. Simple math.
It's true. It's true. He's right, you know.
I speak truth. Mito says, I love to block the car in that's weaving in and out of traffic. Am I evil? It depends on the situation. See, I don't go out of my way to mess with people because, you know, it's Texas. And I'm not going to get involved with the road rage. I don't, you know, if somebody cuts me off.
What you're saying is I'm not trying to get shot. It's not worth it.
Yeah, or at least in a shootout. How's that? I don't want to be in a shootout. But, you know, I don't cause problems. But yeah, I do that thing. Well, if it's getting late and people are trying to sneak up to get past one car where it's merging, yeah, I will definitely cut you off. All right, let's get back to football. I'm sorry I got on this. I blame Brother Bear because
that's all right.
I've been boiling now for about a week over traffic, and that I'm sorry, it just set me off. That's definitely a hey man bleep that. All right, you want to do Texans first here?
Sure.
Okay. I think the Texans, the more I look at, I think they're going to cover 9.5, but I think they're going to lose like 38-31. I think they're going to be able to put up some points against the Chiefs. But in the end, I think it's going to come down to the fact that I think the Chiefs have a better opportunity to force turnovers than the Texans do. And I think a healthy Mahomes. But I do think Andy Reid in the playoffs, I don't think they run away and hide here. I think they're the better team. And, you know, I feel like I feel like the opening line of 7 was where it should have been. I feel like 9.5 is a little too much. I'm not going to bet it because I don't trust the Texans because they've had enough games where evil Texans show up and they have no chance to win. But I think it's going to be competitive, and I think it'll be high scoring.
I agree it will be high scoring. Here's where I've landed on the game. And I think stop talking about the Texans already beat the Chiefs there.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time yesterday explaining to you the differences and why that
Patrick Mahomes was freshly had a busted up ankle. Tyreek Hill was back from his first game, like for his first game after I don't know how long. Sammy Watkins didn't play. Who else didn't play? Eric Fisher didn't play. Andrew Wiley didn't play. I mean, the list of guys who didn't play in that game was ridiculous. That wasn't the real Chiefs. That said, it's not impossible to think that the Texans can go up there and beat them. They're not an unstoppable force. Here's where I came to on the game, because I don't want to deal with betting that the Chiefs are gonna dominate this game and then some voodoo magic second half comeback, which Texans are known
easily
for.
Easily could happen.
And if you're laying damn near double digits, it's likely to happen. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to say Chiefs -5.5.
Okay.
First half. Because
I like that.
The Chiefs crowd is going to be into it. They haven't played they haven't really played in 3 weeks now. There's got to be a nice buzz in that building. They feel like they've got a winner. The Texans have, I mean, when's the last time they got off to a fast start? Do they ever?
Crickets.
Yeah, so I'm just going to assume that if the Texans are going to be in this game, it's going to be because they come out in the second half and they have they make a big adjustment and they make it close. To avoid all of that, I'm just going to go Chiefs -5.5 first half. Remember when Andy Reid off a bye was like slam dunk, you've got to do it?
Yeah.
Do people just not talk about that anymore?
See, I think the Andy Reid off a bye is mitigated by Andy Reid playoff here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the other one, I'm curious what the first quarter number is.
I can tell you that.
Because
with the click of a button, Fred. Yeah,
because that really interests me. Because
Chiefs -3.
I like that more than I like the 5.5.
Okay.
Because
yeah, neither one of my books has the first quarter lines up yet. My guess is that'll come up either Friday or Saturday. But first half lines are available now. It's on... I don't want to say on everybody's book, but on most books, you can get a first half number down now. The other thing about first quarter numbers, sometimes books won't let you.
Yeah, you can't bet them.
You're more limited. But if you're not a guy who's looking to bet $1,000 a game, then it doesn't really matter.
I don't know what this is on ESPN, but it's Trevor Lawrence and Kirk Herbstreit sitting in these loungers. It looks like they're dating. Wait till they cut back to it. They're doing everything but holding hands. Pass me the popcorn.
I think this is what used to be
Gruden?
Gruden's
job. They're going over tape.
And it looks like they're about to mate, not go over tape. All right, Packers minus 4.5 against the Seahawks.
He's a weird-looking guy. Like, that long hair, like, probably tricks people into thinking that he's a handsome. And you know what I always say?
You want a handsome quarterback.
I prefer a handsome quarterback. They tend
But
to
you
have,
don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't get it.
Well, it's just you play the odds. Not every handsome quarterback is good. Not every ugly quarterback is bad. But I think what Trevor Lawrence does is that hair makes you think that he's handsome.
Yeah.
Because a dude who's got that much, who's paying that much attention to his hair is probably.
Yeah. I mean, the hair is glorious. The face, not so much.
Like, if he were bald, he would look like a Skeletor. I mean, he would be hideous. That hair is saving him.
He could play a villain.
He could.
Yeah. But, yeah, I agree with you. He's fantastic hair. All right, Packers minus 4.5 against the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks here. I think these teams are pretty damn equal, and you're giving me 4.5 points. Thank you.
Yeah, I tend to feel the same way. I'm not in love with the Packers. I've made it clear. I don't particularly like that team.
I'm sorry, Texter just nailed Trevor Lawrence. He looks like a white avatar.
Yeah, I guess that's probably pretty good.
Sorry, that's perfect. Didn't mean to laugh. Go ahead.
That's all right. The Packers, my big concern for them is the secondary. Not great down the stretch. And I mean, obviously, having Aaron Rodgers gives you, you're going to be in most games. But I've seen that secondary give up yards to any quarterbacks that are even kind of good. They are having some success against them. So my question is, will the Packers be able to hold down Russell Wilson? This seems like a game where, I would assume going in, the Seahawks will want to pass. That should be their goal, is to be a pass-first team. I don't know that the Packers have an answer for DK Metcalf. If I'm getting 4.5, and there's fives out there available, again, on two teams that I think are both horrendously overrated. The Packers have been, much like the Texans, I think they've been outgained on the season. These are teams that are, the record says something, but you've got, if you look deeper into the stats, it's like, are they really that good? And you get outgained on the season and you are somehow, you got a bye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty wild. So I tend to think at worst, these teams are even. So if I'm getting 4.5 points, it makes the decision pretty easy for me.
All right. A32 says Lawrence looks like the daughter from Ozark.
Is it the daughter or the girl, the curly-haired stripper? Oh, he does kind of look like the daughter, I guess.
Yeah, the unattractive daughter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mississippi State grad here. What are your thoughts on Leach versus Kiff? We did a whole two segments on that at 4 o'clock, so go back and catch that on Podcast Arena. 2-1 wants to know who's the best-looking quarterback and who is the ugliest.
Current today?
Garoppolo's.
Garoppolo's the best-looking. Tom Brady was for a long time, but Tom Brady's gotten older. Jimmy Garoppolo's the most handsome quarterback. Who's the ugliest? Give me during the break. I'll answer that question on the other side.
Okay.
Are we talking starters only?
Yeah, starters only.
Okay. I'll have an answer for you on the other side of the break.
Does Gardner Minshew count?
He could count, but I don't think he's the ugliest.
Okay. We'll find that out when we come back.
Okay.
It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So, Tyler, Tyler from here, basically said he's Trevor Lawrence's station from Bill and Ted.
It's a good one, too.
That's a glorious beak he has. And August sent a picture of him, and I guess it's his girlfriend. And as somebody who has a really big beak, I can appreciate that photo.
Okay.
It's very beaky.
Michael on Facebook says he looks a lot like Jar Jar Binks.
Ooh. All right. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make the ugliest NFL quarterback the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. How about that?
Okay. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. So I went through all of them. And listen, there's no Kyle Orton anymore. So it's...
I did a search for ugliest NFL quarterbacks, and it put me on a gay site.
Oh, really?
And where they were... mentioning who's attractive and who's not. So I kind of trust them more than me, but that's all right.
And who did they have as the ugliest?
Well, let's hear who you have, and I'll tell you where they ranked.
Okay. I've got... The truth is, we're in an era where there's not a lot of ugly NFL quarterbacks right now.
True.
So I want to preface it with that. The guys that I came up with, and the more I look at him, maybe he's not ugly. I thought I had one that I was going to count on Team Ugly, but he's actually a pretty good-looking dude. He's just got a big beard. I was looking at Will Greer.
Yeah, well, but he's not a starter. He got in one game.
I mean, he's the starter now, it seems.
Well, I don't think he's...
Okay, then we won't count
him. Yeah, that's a stretch.
Well, one of the other guys I have is questionable, too, then, because I've got three other ones.
All right, well, let's hear him.
Are we counting Nick Foles as a starter for the Jags?
Yeah, technically until next season. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
So
he's in the conversation for ugliest quarterback.
But he has a really large thing, apparently.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, which kind of makes up for being ugly.
Big, slick Nick.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely makes up for it.
Yeah.
The other two guys, more popular players than Nick Foles. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is an ugly dude.
He's definitely not a handsome. No.
It might be, I don't know. Am I overreacting to him? Do you find him a handsome guy, Aaron?
No, he's not a good-looking dude.
Okay. I mean, he's too freckly.
Yeah, if you're stuck in prison, that's not your first choice.
No. And then the other guy is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is not a handsome dude.
No.
Great at football, not a handsome dude.
Another name that has come up a lot is Big Ben.
Big Ben's pretty ugly, too.
And in the handsome conversation, a lot of people bringing up Russell Wilson should be in that conversation.
You think so? I'll be honest. I like Russell Wilson with short hair. Russell Wilson with, like, the curls, that doesn't do it for me. Like, he looks too femme. I'm not looking for that in my quarterback. I want you to be a little bit rugged.
No, but
maybe Will Greer rugged,
but in a man, I like a little, you know, I like him to be a little effeminate if I'm going to find him attractive.
I guess so. I mean, like, what about Kyler Murray? Where do you fall on him?
I'm going to go unattractive.
He was one of the ones that I considered, but I at the end of the day, I thought that, I mean, it's hard to find pictures of Kyler Murray where he doesn't have like face paint on and stuff like that. I think that he's a decent looking dude. I think just sometimes he has a weird resting face. I think Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, Lamar Jackson. That's your top three.
832 says Carson Wentz is handsome, all caps.
Okay.
I'm getting a lot of Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's under consideration too, although I don't know if he's a starting quarterback anymore.
Somebody says Cam Newton's a good looking dude. I agree with that.
Cam Newton is pretty handsome.
Especially when we interviewed him that time at the Super Bowl, I'm like, damn, that's a good-looking man.
He's striking. And, he's also, let's face it, when we talk about who's a good-looking guy, you're talking about physical stature, too.
Right.
Which, that's why, you know, maybe Russell Wilson takes a knock. Maybe Kyler Murray takes two knocks. Baker Mayfield takes a knock. Like, you know, a big strat, and that's why Ben Roethlisberger probably gets more points than he should.
Yeah.
Because if Ben Roethlisberger were 5'9", he'd just be a regular ugly dude. So it's tough.
Boy, the texters are on their game today. Saying Carson Wentz is ugly is just ginger shaming. Hashtag we have souls too.
Yeah. And then we instantly go to Andy Dalton. Maybe it is ginger shaming. I'm sorry.
I mean, Andrew Luck's not in the league anymore.
No, but Andrew Luck was the number one. He was the top draft pick for a long time. And that's why... I mean, it was a big when Fred remembers this. When Andrew Luck was coming into the league, it was a big issue for me because I didn't know where I fell. I loved Andrew Luck, the football player, but Boy, I didn't trust using the first pick on a guy that ugly.
Matt Leinart was really high on the not ugly list.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Getting a lot of Sam Darnold too.
Sam Darnold looks like Wreck-It Ralph. Like he looks like a video game character.
Yeah, and the same person. Oh, and now Dalton too, confirmed.
Yeah, yep. Sorry, man.
Yeah, that's on us. So, where does Drew Brees fit?
Drew Brees isn't handsome.
No, but he's not ugly. He's kind of a middler.
Yeah, he's probably towards the ugly half of the league.
Yeah, lower half.
Especially now because he's got the balding thing and he's like wants to hold on to some hair.
And he really should go see Dr. Linville because he could fix it.
It's never a good look.
Yeah.
But he's not. I don't think he's in the bottom. You know, the bottom. He's not in the bottom quarter of the league. How about that?
Yeah, I'd say he's probably like 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in that range. Where would you put Deshaun?
Deshaun's pretty handsome. I'd have to do a full rankings to know where these guys all rank. maybe that's a project for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Deshaun's average.
Jared Goff?
He's kind of got a little bit of Nick Foles to him. Like his face is softer and he looks I don't know. He doesn't look as goofy as Jared Goff, but he does have a little bit of that face to him. I like to call it California face.
A lot of Eli Manning belongs on the bad list.
Eli Manning's no longer a starter. Otherwise, he's up there with the ugliest.
Fitzpatrick?
I don't know. No one knows what Ryan Fitzpatrick looks like under that beard. Let's be honest. None of us can tell. But he's older, so I can't imagine he's great looking. And if he was really good looking, he wouldn't have that giant beard.
And one texter says, as an old gay dude, best looking is hands down Patrick Mahomes.
You think so?
I think Holmes is pretty Mahomes is pretty handsome. I think the hair throws me off a little.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Tannehill's pretty handsome.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill's a good looking dude.
Yeah. So, but there's not a pretty weird segment, guys. Getting kind of creepy.
Oh, Matt Ryan's pretty ugly too.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's not an attractive man,
and he wasn't all. I mean, I wouldn't say he's always been ugly, but he's always looked older than he should. So, like, he just looks like he's rode hard and put up wet.
A little bit, yeah. So, did I just turn on the radio and you guys are talking about guys' looks? Hey, it's sports, man.
Yeah. It's the hottest quarterback conversation.
Because whether or not you're an attractive quarterback, there's a direct correlation sometimes to performance.
Josh Rosen looks even weirder with a beard. Like, he's not unattractive without the beard, but if you look at him with the beard...
Josh Rosen looks like... He looks like a kid who, I can't imagine that he plays football. Like, if you ever saw him, you would never think that he played football. And he's got that weird thing where his chin kind of connects to his chest. Like, he's almost got, like, he doesn't have a jawline. It's just like a drooping down to his chest. I don't like that.
Joseph's looking at these guys' wives and girlfriends. They're tens, apparently. That's because they're riches and they're quarterbacks. Yeah. Listen, if you're rich, go look at NASCAR drivers' wives. Some of those guys, I mean, they're not even making the cut with these quarterbacks, and their wives are 10 times as hot.
Yeah.
You know why? They drive fast cars. You have to be, if you're a quarterback in the NFL, you're making a bunch of money, you're going to have a hot wife or girlfriend or boyfriend. Let's not totally rule that out.
What about Baker Mayfield? Hot or not?
I'm going to go not.
I don't dig him either. I might be in the minority on this one. This is a hot take, maybe. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is that handsome.
Yeah, he's kind of goofy looking.
And especially when he doesn't have a beard, he looks crazy.
And he has weird lips.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a handsome quarterback.
But he pulls...
He's probably in my bottom... Probably in the bottom quarter, bottom eight.
Mark, the Bears fan, says Trubisky blows up that theory about handsome quarterbacks. It doesn't always work. Matt Leinart didn't work out.
Yeah,
Sanchez was a handsome. He wasn't very good.
And Mr. Trubisky's not—he's not a slam dunk as a handsome either.
No, he's
he's got a weird head shape.
He's strapping physically.
Yeah,
but yeah, the face—I'm not so sure I'm going to go with you there. So yeah,
I'm still going to go with Garoppolo's number one.
Yeah, I think we can all agree Jimmy Garoppolo is hands down number one, the champ.
I think Cam Newton's right there in the conversation.
Cam Newton second. I'll put him second on my list. See, I'm kind of like my list will start deviating here because I'd probably have Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes up there next on my list.
Josh Allen's a pretty decent looking kid.
Yeah.
Boy, there's, you know who's not great, although he's still a young man. He could grow into it a little bit. Daniel Jones is a goofy looking dude.
Yeah. Agreed. Steven, the weather guy, says Deshaun is 16th like every other Texans ranking.
That's probably actually
that is. Accurate. That's probably 100% accurate. All right, so somehow that became your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Getting a lot of Matthew Stafford not attractive either.
Lamont, the hands down the weirdest looking QB after I saw this picture has to be Aikman, and he's got Aikman next to Jay-Z, and they really do look a lot alike. I mean, Aikman is the white Jay-Z, or vice versa. Jay-Z's a black Troy Aikman, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, man. The
Mike Dolomite says that QB talk made me think, who's uglier, Terrell Suggs or Zeke Elliott? I'm going to go with Suggs.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
There's a lot of people saying Mariota's a handsome and he didn't work out.
Yeah, listen, it's not 100%.
No, it's just, it's more of a guideline than a rule.
ATX Hobo Girl, Kyler has a puppet face. That's probably about right.
Yeah.
I'm getting some confirmation on Lamar Jackson not being handsome.
Okay. Somebody asked about Phillip Rivers. Yeah, he's on the low end of the
list.
A
lot of votes for Big Ben, though.
Yeah. All right. Enough of this nonsense. Another hour to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.